The addictive roguelike game Balatro has become one of the biggest hits of the year, mixing elements of poker and solitaire into a fiendish experience. And now my life is ruined because it's coming to mobile thanks to Apple Arcade. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade. And you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. This offer is for new subscribers only. $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
sifter.com.au.
Hi, I'm Fiona Bartholomaeus.
And I'm Kyle Paletto.
Welcome to Walkthrough, Sifter's weekly recap on the biggest news in video games.
This week, video game screen adaptations dominate the news with Zelda, Assassin's Creed, and Donkey Kong. Valve responds to pressure and removes some of the most vile games from its platform. And rumors suggest Fallout 5 is now going into full production. Here is the news for Sunday, 20th of July. Let's go.
Join the Sifter community on Discord at sifter.com.au/discord.
The live-action The Legend of Zelda movie revealed their main cast this week. Posted on Nintendo social media, Miyamoto revealed that Zelda will be played by Bo Bragason and Link will be played by Benjamin Evan Ainsworth. Bragason has previously been in BBC's Three Girls and the Jetty and Disney Plus's series Renegade Nell? Who names these shows? And Ainsworth is known for his work in The Haunting of Bly Manor. That's fine, I'll allow that. And the voice of Pinocchio in the remake. Oh, and fun fact, if you Google either of those names, you get a fun little Zelda-themed message at the top of the search. I'm pretty happy, to be honest, with these choices. I was more worried they were going to use some like really well-known actors. We still don't know anything about the film, so who knows what Zelda game it'll be based on or if it'll be a new story. But Miyamoto has announced that the film is scheduled to be released on May 7th, 2027. So we are going to have some patience.
A live-action Assassin's Creed TV series got the green light this week, 5 years after confirmation of Netflix partnership with Ubisoft. It'll focus on the Templar and Assassin's conflict that has played out in every game, but we don't know yet if it'll be a new story or adaptation of an existing one. They haven't yet announced what time period it'll be set in, but Netflix has said that Robert Pattino, executive producer of Westworld and a writer of Sons of Anarchy, and David Weiner, the executive producer of Halo and Homecoming, are attached as creators, showrunners, and executive producers. Can't wait to see what they do with Assassin's Creed because that movie was not very good at all.
Yeah, it was a real stinker. So forgettable. Every time I go to watch it, I think I'm watching it for the first time, and then I remember, no, I've seen this before. It just completely disappears from my brain the second it's over. God, it's boring. Have you seen it, Fee?
I have not, but now I don't. Look, maybe it's the same as you. Maybe I have seen it and I don't remember.
Honestly, incredibly likely. And finally, Eagle Eyes spotted that an untitled Donkey Kong movie project has popped up in the copyright public record system. Honestly, it isn't a surprise, as we've already had the Super Mario Bros. Movie. This one will also be done by Universal Pictures. And look, with how much they're putting into Donkey Kong at the moment, with obviously Bonanza as well as all of the theme park stuff, it's really no surprise that they're going all in on the big monkey man. Will Seth Rogen be back to play the big ape? Who knows? We'll find out. What do you think? Do you hope so? Did you like Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong?
To be honest, I actually forgot Donkey Kong had a voice in the Mario movie.
There you go. If we could put Donkey Kong right there alongside Michael Fassbender's Assassin's Creed, completely forgettable for Fiona.
Just a quick warning, this next story does contain references to sexual assault. Valve has been forced to remove a bunch of abhorrent games from its store after payment processors raised concerns this week. Australian group Collective Shout, who campaigns against sexual assault depictions in media, wrote an open letter this week to the payment processors like PayPal, and they quickly responded. Steam users have been taken to various platforms to complain that PayPal wasn't working when they were attempting to purchase certain titles. It turns out payment processors like PayPal have much stricter rules of what's acceptable than Steam does. And surprisingly, they also have the power to block their services if you try to use them for purchases through Steam that they deem unacceptable.
Valve has chosen to remove a heap of games from the store in response. Steam hasn't confirmed that PayPal was the specific processor at the heart of all this, but told Gaming on Linux it will be notifying developers and issuing app credits in case they want to upload new games in the future.
Look, for yours, Kyle's, and my own mental health, we won't go into the exact titles or themes, but look, I'm sure you can imagine what's there. And if you really need to know, we have linked an article by Gaming on Linux in the show notes, and that does have all the details.
Cygames, the dev team behind Uma Musume, Pretty Derby, have put out a statement telling fans the correct etiquette when at a real-life horse stables. If you haven't heard of the game, it's a horse racing and training sim based on real-life famous horses, but they've all been redesigned into anime horse waifus, and their backstory is inspired by their real-life counterparts. Wow, this game sounds like it was built for Gianni, like from the ground up. It's got everything he loves. This is crazy. It's become so popular that it's driven an increase in interest towards horse racing in Japan, and now people are going to visit the horses that the characters are inspired by, and obviously some people broke the rules. Whoops!
In a blog post, Cygames outlined how visitors should behave when they visit real-life horse stables to not interrupt the working stable and impact the horses. It's also clear that the devs don't want the bad behaviour to reflect on the company and gaming fans as a whole. Apparently, the stable housing the real-life horse Haru Harara received heaps of notifications on a recent birthday post for the horse, a sudden increase of people following the stable's account, and reservations to visit the horse that retired years ago is also filling up. The gaming community never fails to surprise me, and if you want to read their guidelines for visiting stables in Japan, we'll link it in the show notes. We heard a few months ago that King, the studio behind Candy Crush, would be letting people go in a round of layoffs, but now anonymous sources are coming out and revealing what exactly is happening. Speaking to mobilegames.biz, anonymous devs have said that many level designers and user research staff and practically half of the London-based Farm Hero Saga team are going to be made redundant, with many more told that they're at risk. The devs have said that some of the staff have spent months building tools that use AI to help make level design quicker. However, those people have now been let go and now have essentially been replaced with those same AI tools.
Ew, gross. Hate that. The company sent around an internal memo saying that the industry is changing fast and their business hasn't been growing. So they're making changes to the business, including many more AI tools. Oh, it must be so hard not having just growth forever. Sounds like they're really keen to get rid of people. Some developers have claimed that a recent internal survey showed morale at an all-time low, and some staff are being targeted by HR for expressing dissatisfaction internally. Just gross. All around gross. Hate that. Hate everything about it. And one for the rumor mill. Fans of the Fallout series get excited based on a single comment. Fallout 4 has been greenlit for development. Reporter Jez Corden speaking.
Sorry, you said Fallout 4.
And one for the rumor mill. Fans of the Fallout series get excited based on a single comment. Fallout 5 has been greenlit for development. Did I say 5 then? It felt like I said 5 then. Phew. Reporter Jez Corden, speaking on the Xbox 2 podcast, said that some of the project cancellations at ZeniMax and Bethesda were about relocation of funding towards the RPG.
Take this with a grain of iodized salt, because it is based on a bit of background conversation Corden has been having, but nothing has been confirmed yet. At any rate, it'll still be a fair way off, with plans for it to arrive after new Starfield DLC and The Elder Scrolls 6.
Oh, Starfield DLC. We're all waiting, just hanging out for that, aren't we? God, I'm sassy today. I'm on one today, Mitch.
That's it for the headlines. Here are the games coming out this week.
Out on the 22nd is Misk, A Tiny Tale. It's a really fun, wholesome little puzzle platformer where you play as tiny robots, and it's Australian made. Sifter's own Nom has been playing it, so keep an eye on our feeds for her review coming soon and pick it up for yourself on PC or Switch this Tuesday.
Releasing on the 23rd is Wheel World, an open-world racing cycling adventure game with a fantastic cel-shaded art style. Customize your bike and race to save the world when this one comes to PC, Xbox, and PlayStation on Wednesday.
We've got a brand new Souls-like out this week, Wu-Chang Fallen Feathers. You play as a cursed pirate warrior fighting off the forces of evil in a semi-historical Ming Dynasty setting. That's out on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series S and X on the 24th.
Next up is Killing Floor 3. Set 70 years after the events of the previous game, a mega corporation has developed an army of monsters, and it's your job to deal with them in first-person shooter chaos. That's out on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series S and X this Thursday.
Also out Thursday is Endzone 2, an isometric point-and-click survival game set in a stunning and brutal post-apocalyptic setting. Explore, build, and survive against the odds when Endzone 2 comes to PC on the 24th.
And last up is Look Mum No Computer, a twin-stick RPG shooter set inside the workings of rogue machines. Take down the evil machines with synth-based attacks in a perfectly executed 90s Game Boy aesthetic. Check it out exclusively on PC this Thursday.
Again, it looks really, really fun.
Articles to read,
videos to watch,
and podcasts to listen to.
Sifter.com.au.
This has been Walkthrough by Sifter. My name is Kyle Coletto.
And my name is Fiona Bartholomaeus. Thank you so much for listening.
Hey, we've been sharing heaps on our website lately with features on video game collectors, local cooperative game dev hubs, and more. The best place for you to go is visit sifter.com.au and check in regularly. Reviews, interviews, and feature articles are all there, so check it out.
Sifter is produced by myself, Kat Jahn, Kyle Paletto, Adam Christou, Naomi Jackson, Courtney Smith, and Chris Button. Mitch Lowe is senior producer and video editor, and Gianni Di Giovanni is Sifter's executive producer and script editor.
Thanks to Brian Fairbanks from Salty Dog Sounds for composing the Walkthrough theme tune, and Audio Technica Australia and Apple for their support of Sifter's podcasts.
We'll be back with more news next Sunday. See you then.
Hey there, Gianni here on the latest episode of Lightmap Sifter's interview podcast. Dave Lloyd from Melbourne's Power Hoof joins us to share The Drifter, a stylish point-and-click adventure game with some stunning pixel art inspired by pulpy thrillers.
I think I'll always be making adventure games because it's kind of where I came from as a developer as well. Draw this flow chart of like, okay, they're going to need to pick up a screwdriver from somewhere. Where could that be? And they've got to have that before they can do this next bit where they need the screwdriver. So, you know, kind of, and then trying to distill that into sort of almost a walkthrough slash to-do list of what has to go in the game. And every character's suddenly got to have a bit of an arc, and there've got to be multiple subplots for it to hold together. And oh man, it did my head in trying to work it all out.
You can get every episode of Lightmap for free on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on YouTube. You can head to our website, sifter.com.au, or find it wherever you like to listen to podcasts.